do for KU, but I know that's where we like applications and I want to apply that. It's an MSC loop, monthly active user. Who were being moved from one facility, which was being funded by the Department of Health, to NGOs. I must apologize, Honorable Member. I took it for granted that the members do have a report of the AMBUS, but I will just highlight. So my presentation is really focused on what are we doing to implement the recommendations of the Health AMBUS, our very first Health AMBUS, Dr. Michael Kidima.
Maybe before you consider this, it's good that you are explaining to the Select Committee that you thought that we had the report of the AMBUS, because it is not appropriate for members of the Select Committee to get a presentation and then sit in the meeting, because it's not the time to engage on the issue in a presentation. So we want to respect that. It doesn't happen that it is a great inconvenience.
I must profusely apologize for that. The Health AMBUS investigate was requested by the Minister of Health to investigate the reported deaths of mental health patients. At the time, there was a number of 36 that was reported to the Gauteng legislature by my predecessor. After the investigation has been concluded, Professor Malika Kudumakova established that a total of 94 blasts. It is estimated that it is around 100 during a specified period, died between the 23rd of March 2016 and the 19th of December 2016. Yesterday we had the acting HOD, Dr. Ernest Kinoshi, had a meeting with Dr. Marakapuru and his office.
So now that has been issued to the HOD and other departmental officials, why is it that not for we are all alone?
Yeah.
Because they are the implementers of policies. You are politically oversight over your own departments. Where are they?
I must say that we did try to get some to come, but those that are involved in this particular program, including the Health Department, we agreed that it should, acting Health Department, it should remain because the project is anything to do. I want to apologize for that as well, but we have put the quotes and the presentation together with you. The whole team has been able to put the program together. And I will definitely make sure that they are with me as we implement the issues that we have been raised by the It has been quite distressing, I must say, honorable members, to a point that even the acting HOD could not even attend the state of the government. So from time to time we share the responsibilities and there's I think sometimes the deep end is not adequate to present the challenges that we face.
Okay, what one question do you want to see? Is an issue that other members of the
on this issue of the absence of the officials. There were media reports during the past few days that some officials are in fact challenging the findings of the ombudsman and they are threats to take it on review. Now my question would be, is this the absence related to the challenge of the ombudsman or some of the other cases?
Not directly related to the challenge, but related to the fact that the head of department is on suspension and some other officials are also on suspension. And we are trying to pull the department And there were 27 NGOs involved that the health onboard investigated with his team. And on the 1st of February, the report was released. And the report found that there was available evidence that showed that the decision by the department to terminate the agreement was life as remaining, the contract was life as remaining, and sent this patient to various NGOs, precipitated the conditions that have led to the death in huge numbers of these patients. And the health ombudsman also, in his report, refers to the project as the Gauteng Mental Health Marathon Project, that it was done in a hurry, in a rush, with chaotic execution, in an environment with no developed, no tradition, no culture of primary mental health care community-based services, framework and infrastructure. So it is against this context that the health ombuds made certain recommendations that I will respectfully take the committee through, and with a focus on what have we done to implement these recommendations, because the Minister of Health, as well as the Premier of the province and the state, accepted the recommendations. And therefore, what followed was what do they do to implement the recommendations. I must say that for me, it was difficult to really appreciate that mental health patients, in their vulnerability, could not access the protection by our constitution, by our National Health Act, by our National Health Mental Act, and by various policies that are there in the in government, and that the project was done by a team which did not involve the other relevant health workers that could have most likely created different circumstances to implement a policy that is supported by WHO, the World Health Organization. I was invited to come and assist. I was appointed as an MEC to come and assist to first deal with this matter, but also to stabilize the department as a whole. We acknowledge that it has been a huge reputational damage. But I would also want to submit to the portfolio committee that the over 60,000 other health workers in the province, both professional and support staff, having engaged with them, many are saying if we were aware, we could have perhaps helped. So the rush that accompanied this project indeed made it slip through even the scrutiny, even the capacity of others in the department to be able to assist. But I don't believe that the people who were involved intended that the outcome be as it was. The fact is that the outcome has been the death of a number of vulnerable patients who are in the care of the Gauteng Department of Health, and that's what we need to deal with. And that is why I understand both the Ministry of Health and the Gauteng provincial government accepted the report of the health ombuds and committed to implement this. I have personally met with the senior management. I've met with the district managers, the CEO of hospitals, and also head office. There is acknowledgement that we must do more to ensure that we breach the confidence that has been lost between the department and the public, and that we do everything to say never again. So I think the purpose has been outlined. I will now take members through the recommendations that have been made and also how far the status of implementation thereof. There are 18 recommendations that are covers also what the national and province at the minister and premier level should do, and there are specific 6 recommendations that are directed to the Gauteng Department of Health. I will take members to go through the set of recommendations. Firstly, first recommendation was that the Gauteng Mental Health Marathon project must be established. This has been done, it has been stopped. This does not mean that the policy is not correct, but how it was implemented was wanting and was detrimental. So we've decided that we will suspend this project, including the deinstitutionalization program itself, until we have taken lessons on what not to do. The second recommendation was that the Premier of Gauteng Province must, in the light of the findings herein, consider the suitability of Ms. Rosemar Townsend, who was the member of the Executive Council for Health, to continue in the current role as MEC for Health. I think members are aware that the MEC voluntarily resigned. The third was that disciplinary proceedings must be instituted against the head of department for gross misconduct and or incompetence in compliance with the disciplinary code and procedure as applicable to senior management staff members in the public service. And in the light of Dr. Sivano's conduct during the course of the investigation, which includes tampering with evidence, it is recommended that the Premier should consider suspending him pending his disciplinary hearing, subject to compliance with the disciplinary code and procedure applicable to senior management members in the public service. I think Mr. Hutting, Honourable Hutting, indeed, even though precautionary suspension has been effected, the head of department has appealed the procedure, the Mental Health Act, but also the Office of Health Standard Compliance, the legislation that established that and created the Health Ombuds Office, cites the Minister of Health as an appeals body on any resolutions or actions of the Office of Health Standard Compliance. So I'm aware that the head of department has appealed, but as we speak now, he is on precautionary suspension. And Dr. Ernest Pinochet is the acting head of department. He commenced on duty about a month ago, on the 8th of February, 2017. The fourth recommendation was that disciplinary proceedings must be instituted against the director of mental health services at that time. Just to also make the committee aware that Dr. Malamela has also appealed to my knowledge. The ministry has received an appeal, and indeed she's also on precautionary suspension. The fifth recommendation is that both the two professionals, head of department and the director of mental health services, must be reported to their respective professional bodies for appropriate remedial action with regard to professional and ethical conduct. Once the disciplinary cases are finalized, the report will be submitted to the relevant professional bodies. In terms of the recommendation 6, corrective disciplinary actions must be taken against the named officials. Most of them are at the head office, but there is one who is the chief director for state health services in Tshwane, Mr. Pisis, and the other two are CEO, the suspended CEO who was already undergoing disciplinary action. Nyato, as well as the CEO who was acting at that time, Ms. Malapa. But the others are part of the mental health directorate. There's also Ms. Dima Sondo there, the chairperson of the Mental Health Review Board. The Mental Health Review Board has been established by the National Mental Health Act of 2002 to be a custodian of assisted and involuntary mental health patients. And therefore, only the seven staff members are being subjected to disciplinary processes, whereas the chair of the Housing Mental Health Review Board, Ms. Masondo, her situation is being dealt with in accordance with the Mental Health Act. I must say that the staff members have also been given intentions and suspensions, and was already precautionary moved the chief director for digital services in Tshwane to work in another district, reporting to the chief director of that district, which is Ekurhuleni, because in Tshwane has the most number, as you see in the slides that will follow, most number of patients that shifted to the NGO there, and also most number of deaths. To allow investigation is on a precautionary taking precautionary measures to another district. Ms. Masondo has also been formally suspended as a chair by the MEC, by myself, because the law requires that, and she will be subjected to an inquiry as per requirement of the Mental Health Act. An acting interim chairperson of the board, one of the lawyers then, Mr. Mufoshi, is now appointed as interim chair. In terms of recommendation 7, that all the remedial actions recommended must be executed within 45 days and progress be reported to the CEO of the Office of Health Standards Compliance within 9 days. In this regard, there is a steering committee that was appointed to help hold the political principles. The Premier and the Minister at the stage, I'm now part of it, of the political team that's over here. And the steering committee is led by the two DGs, the DG of National Health Department, the DG of Housing Province in the Premier's office, and now they've been joined by the Acting DG of Health, Dr. Benoshi. The steering committee is also liaising with other government departments, the South African Police Services. There are quite a number of investigations that are still underway, including the allegations that there are some of the patients who died who have been buried as paupers without the due process being followed. There's a number of medical legal pathology investigations that are being done, and post-mortem that is being used. The National Treasury was also the National Treasury was approached, and they have made available to National Health funds for the relocation of the management of the relocation of the patients to appropriate facilities. SASA, I mean Social Development and SASA are being approached to identify the benefits, especially disability benefits of patients, and the Department of Justice, including probable prosecution, are also engaged where they need to prosecute. In terms of the SAP, these are the ongoing investigations that I've talked about, that they are continuing, and the department is cooperating with them. In terms of also the resolution that, or recommendation that the Mesa Minister of Health requests the South African Human Rights Commission to undertake a systematic and systemic review of human rights compliance and possible violations, as the Minister has already done that. In terms of the appropriate legal proceedings to be instituted or administrative action taken against the NGOs that were found to have operated unlawfully and where the mental health care users died, this aspect has also been attended to. As we speak, some of the NGOs have already been closed, and the review of the licenses has also been undertaken. In terms of the 27 NGOs being deregistered, I think I've just reported as we speak. Five NGOs were closed even before the 1st of February 2017, and subsequently over the past 2 weeks, we have closed three of the NGOs as we move patients away. But whilst patients are still there, we work with them. There are health workers, both doctors and nurses, that assess patients whilst they are there. In terms of the Mental Health Act, the Minister has already written to the South African Law Reform Commission to look at the role and more effective role of the National Minister. In terms of removing, and this is a major task that we are busy with, that is led, as I've indicated, by the acting HOD, amongst other responsibilities that we have. Under the guidance of a team of experts, the process of relocating patients has started, and to date, 98 have been transferred, at least by yesterday. And patients are being moved in consultation with families. I must say that this is a very difficult task because some of the family contacts may have changed, but we are trying to make sure that we don't move the patients without the consent of families. And where we can't reach families, the Mental Health Review Board, that's where its fiduciary responsibility comes in as well. They have oversight. The need to review the National Health Act and the Mental Care Health Act of 2002, the Minister is overseeing this process and it's underway. And in terms of recommendation 15, that this kind of a project in future must not be done outside the policy framework guidelines and without oversight and permission from National Minister and compliance with the relevant statute. This is what we're saying, never again. We're putting measures in place to ensure that. And recommendation 16 talks about the future deinstitutionalization. We've decided that we must pause all these institutionalization processes until we change people and are aware what needs to be done and be done properly and in line with the guidelines. In terms of recommendation 17, that the minister and the premier jointly must meet with the affected families and enter into an alternative dispute resolution process. I must report that this process has begun with a number of meetings having taken place, and also on the 18th of February, having had a healing ceremony where we were invited by the families themselves and the family committee that we work with. The minister and the premier will announce who will be heading the alternative dispute resolution committee or mediation process. All I can say now is that they're looking at one of the retired judges. The last recommendation of the 18th is really around the Mental Health Review Board. And I have already reported that in line with the Act, I've taken steps to reconstitute the Mental Health Review Board There was one ombud, health mental health review board for the whole province. So my assessment was that it is not effective, and that's why it could not effectively, you know, execute its task during this period and protect, identify the risks and protect the lives of the patients that have perished or that have gone through this difficulty that they survived. And as a result, we have advertised we will be establishing a mental health review board for the 5 districts, not one for the whole province. Adverts have already gone out, and we hope in the next 2-3 months we will have the structure to that mental health review board. The next set of slides, honourable members, really deal with the 6 areas that I indicated are directed specifically to the housing department itself. And they are related. They refer to a development of an information system with a patient register. The ombuds was really frustrated in terms of verification, you know, many sources of data. This is also what we are busy with. We're working with Home Affairs as well as the South African Statisticians General's Office to be able to map, because these patients can't talk for themselves, to map their IDs with the records of the Home Affairs and make sure that we can account for all the patients. We have a register of over 1,329 patients that were discharged from Lifeless as many since 2014. So within those, we will then look at the period of Dr. Makub or Professor Makuba's report to account for each and every patient. So it's about data. Those and then the second issue is adherence to the Act. As I've indicated, we've put measures in place to ensure that. The third area is to strengthen the capacity of the primary health care, including district hospitals, to be able to absorb patients as we institutionalize. This is a long-term process, and we will ensure that we do it properly because of the vulnerability of mental health patients. The fourth recommendation is around also to look at, to study the recommendation of the chief director responsible for non-communicable diseases, including mental health, Professor Freeman. The process has already begun. I've met with the directorate, including the head of psychiatry or from the various universities in the province. Community psychiatry, as well as strengthening that program is involved. What is red is really what we are not immediately implementing in the long term, but the progress that we have made will be able to report to Professor Markov. The sixth one is to institute corrective disciplinary actions, and I have already indicated that we've done this as well. Okay. I think the others may be repetition. I want to take members to the specifics of the relocating the patients. That is really the threat of the patients. 13 NGOs in Tshwane, 7 in Joburg, 6 in Kigabeng, 5 in Western, and 2 in Ekurhuleni. And we've also been able to assess, together with 15 of specialists, that include psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and environmental health workers. And that's why I'm saying that we are aware what patient is where, and should they need to be referred to a hospital for acute care, they get referred. That slide just outlines the process of the relocation, which is very sensitive. As I was coming here from our offices now, one mental health patient was part of the crowd, and we had to got very agitated when there was a near car accident. A car almost went over him, And you could see that it's very agitated and could be even a risk to himself and others. So that is a sensitivity. We had to intervene to ask motorists to stop. So that is a sensitivity. So if there are many, they are vulnerable. So they need to be catered for, not like any other patients who or people who are not unhealthy. So we wanted to also to share with members the various NGOs that are cited, and those that are there, we are aware that they are a sense of urgency for us to move patients there. That's where we started. And that's where we have intense oversight by teams of specialists there. And in some of those NGOs, we even help over and above what we expect the NGOs to do as a Department of Health for feeding and the well-being of the patients there. The ones that are orange, we know that the patients are stable there, and the conditions are not as bad. And the ones that are in green, the team of experts that was appointed by the minister and the premier had assessed that the facilities are not in that bad situation, although yes, there are about seven where if they are compliant, they can be compliant, the department can continue working with them. I also need to make members aware that we have, in addition to these ones that were, some of them were just established for this project. The department works with NGOs for various programs. So it is not only this, so it is, there is a process of copper licensing which was not necessarily followed in this instance, or that apparently was not followed in this instance. We also share with you the process, the 98, where we have already moved the patients. The three NGOs, including users who were admitted for acute care there, they've been taken to Selby, which is a clinic facility, a private hospital facility, but they have been able to modify their facility to cater for mental health patients in their psychiatric unit. Baneng is a facility of life healthcare, which is also available. So we are using those facilities for now. Having said that, there is a process, a program that has been agreed to. We have had to contract additional doctors and additional nurses from agencies to assist. That's just the verification process that we are busy with. And also what we've done so far in terms of data. Honourable members, I submit this as a progress report for the implementation of the recommendation of the health handbook on the mental health care users that are in NGOs that are not compliant with the
abantu
But there are patients, mental patients that were that died, and their bodies have not been identified. What is the situation in that regard, and have the families been informed, or what is the position in terms of liaising with affected families? What is the progress in that regard? Honourable Congresswoman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome the report. And thanks for the commitment of even going all by yourself and coming all by yourself. It's for me the commitment that there are no officials accompanying you, but still you found it fit to come and present on the progress of the health ombudsman. For me that a commitment. Let me see if I could just for future purposes ask that maybe on your presentation on the hard copy that I'm holding here, the acronyms be spelled out, all of them. We are acquainted with some of them, but specifically on page 9, I better to unpack the MCHU until such time I could pick up from your utterances and worked it out. That's my first one. On crime on TV, social workers from Estimeni spoke, and those were some who had spent approximately 30 years in the institution and knowing the professions quite well. I understand from their utterances that they also did not know about moving of the people to the NGOs, the unlicensed NGOs. And in this regard, I want to know, how have you emotionally dealt with their wrecked souls? Because they themselves, apart from their families, as the support staff in that institution, need emotional healing and closing the chapter, because when they were talking about their own experiences and very hurt with the procedures and processes that were happening in the institution. What steps, secondly, have you taken? I do see on the report, on the licensing of the NGOs, what steps and how far is that process? And then Mamsanga has covered me on the burial of patients. I want to know the compensation, which is touched on recommendation 18. Can you unpack what compensation is there for Estimeni patients in terms of not only burying the deceased, but also maybe there was an insurance there on the patients, I don't know. Because if they were in an unlicensed NGO, maybe there hasn't been effective procedures to make them insured. And then is there any compensation? And if it is, can you unpack the compensation that will be received by each of the family? The families of the deceased were not consulted on the removal of their patients. And that is a matter from the human rights, which is also encapsulated by your report in terms of recommendation. I want to know the remaining ones that are 22, I think. There are 22 remaining ones that have been moved to the new NGOs. Are those NGOs licensed? And where about? And I suppose you would have followed the correct procedures of consulting with their family as per report. Are they happy with the removal from Estibeni having spent more than 30 years in there to the new place? And what is the reason? That is big given by the families if they don't want their family members to be removed. For now, that is my case.
And I must remember my few ones are the following. Life as it remains, is it the same thing as the how can mental health marathon project? Is that one and the same thing or two, but they are two separate things. My second question is, how many patients are supposed to be relocated in Kyoto in the next year? You have relocated 98 out of how many that are still remaining? And what are you going to do as a department to ensure that they are relocated into appropriate place fields with appropriate licenses if some of them are not? I'm looking to this. What prompted the removal of these people? Why were they removed in the first place? The 1,300 odd that the NDC is talking about, were they in one institution or is it they're giving us the total number of mental patients in the entire province? I didn't get clarity there. And then you did explain the death rate over the period of time. If you could just repeat that. I just wanted to establish in my own mind, I mean, a patient that has got a medical condition that affects the body, for example, the heart, the lungs, the diabetes or hypertension, whatever, could be slightly different from a patient that is suffering a mental condition but not necessarily with the other patient. Now, the death in such high numbers is troubling me. Ordinarily, mental health patients would not die in such big numbers. What is it that is the cause of this high rate of death? And then my last question is this. Your senior official has been suspended and dismissed. I get the sense that the department in the Gauteng was in shambles. I don't know if I'm correct in my assessment, but I want to get it from you as to how can a department have such a high number of officials together with board members, you know, being suspended. It looks like things are not going very well. And I'm happy, at least I do want to encourage that I'm quite happy for the steps that you've taken in ensuring that as a department, assisted by National and other experts, you are beginning to turn the situation around. You are addressing a number of issues, in particular relating to this affected institutions and patients, the mental health patients that you are talking about. Those are my questions. If you can then respond to them.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members for the questions. Can I start with the issue of the numbers? Let me explain the life as it is. Life as it is. A group, a subsidiary of the Life Healthcare Group, which is a private hospital group. It is the only one of the private hospital groups that has a division that deals with the chronic mental illness. And this is a historic matter where
also part of those NGOs also. So this group then got into this long-standing facility or institution that had contact with government. So it's a historic matter. And like SDMANI as a group had different areas where they had resources, including in Banain. Banain that I've presented here is one of the homes for life SDMANI. There are others in other areas throughout the country. So the patients, the 1,390 odd patients that were discharged. Part of the agreement is that this the facility must rehabilitate patients, and those that are due for discharge must be discharged home. So there are procedures of discharging patients. But the Department of Health then decided to terminate their contract with the life SDMANI, and they spread the contract amongst a number of NGOs. And that's where the, especially those that are closer to where to district health services. And that's where this Gauteng Marathon project seems to have come from. And that decision was effective last year, was taken in 2016, and it was effective from last year. Whereas there is a plan that is rational, that is of repute, that was even so acknowledged by the court, because this matter has been also to the court when families try to stop the move. The plan is there, and the plan is aligned, but the implementation by the team that was implemented was not aligned to even the plan that was shared with the family and that was shared with the court as well. So, and maybe that being the history, the total number of patients that there's a number of patients that are in the public hospitals as we speak. That's Fontaine, that's Sophie's. We also have patients in the Media South, which is a district hospital, Tara, which is also a mental health hospital, and also Kanye Men Rehabilitation Center. So the patients that are remaining in these facilities, they are just above 700. I'm saying just above 700 because, like all of us, some of them get flu, they are referred to hospital, so the numbers that they are around 700. And those that we have identified as critical for moving, for instance, were 355 patients that are female. Okay, that 355 patients that come from at least the NGOs that were in the red, and as well as those who were previously in life SDMANI, as well as 83 patients who the team found in those NGOs who did not come from life SDMANI, who were not part of the project. So we are working on the. Currently, we are working on a grand total of 1,166 patients to be moved, inclusive of the three that have been moved. And the rest of the patients are in public hospitals, and some have been discharged home, and some are indeed the passed away, are the ones that have been confirmed that they have passed away. So that is maybe the issue of the accounting for numbers, and where we have to consult the families, and we can't find the families, the Mental Health Review Board is the statutory of that statutory oversight. But in moving the 98 patients, we've already communicated with over 33 families. We managed to test the families, got consent, and the families were at the receiving site where the patients were transferred. So none of those family members were you haven't as yet come across a family member that's unhappy with the new facility that they have gone to. The patient died from other conditions. Others had diabetes, others had others had vessels, others had other mobilities. So patients who have mental health are also vulnerable for other conditions that may lead to death because they can't look after themselves. Just for an example, they even forget something even worse. They can forget to eat. They may not necessarily have the desire to even eat. So they need intense care. So over and above the mental conditions, just human beings with mental causes, they need care. And it's apparent that that care has not been given. But there is a process of post-mortem that will give us a conclusive cause of death for each and every patient that has been subjected to death that has been subjected to death. Okay, whilst the Department of Health is the Department of Health in Shembe, it is apparent that particularly this team did not work in a coordinated manner with other relevant units. They needed to work within a multidisciplinary wing, like we are doing now, the team that the minister has put in place, multidisciplinary, and that was overlooked. But secondly, the facilities, even though they got licenses, they were not compliant with the requirements of those licenses. So we are rectifying all those issues. The issue of patients who died families, I think I did respond to each member something. I hope I've responded to it adequately in terms of the patients. But those who we can't have access or we don't have access to families, we're waiting for home affairs to track, trace, identify before burial. The issue of acronyms are not acronyms. I would read you and send without acronyms comment. I would respond to the document. The issue of social workers in SDMN. Many of the workers who were in the past facilities were absorbed in the housing units because the unions insisted that the workers should not lose their employment. Indeed, there is a need to emotionally support them, but we are also taking the whole of the Department of Health, because the reputation is not only for the directors of mental health. The reputation issue is for the whole Department of Health. So, and many of them are saying, but why are we are doing so much? We for instance, see almost 16 million patients just at primary health care level. So there's a lot of good work elsewhere. So it is an important issue, and we're trying all our best. I've also met with the unions. We also reflected on this together. The issue of licensing, we are rectifying the problem. What was found was that the director of mental health that issued the license on behalf of the head of department, PP, and that is not allowed by law. So that is also being rectified. And in compensation of mental health. Compensation for many for the patients, government rarely takes insurance. And to the best of my knowledge, there was no insurance here. And the issue of compensation will only be clear once the mediation process is over between the families and the process of the Ministry of Appeal. In terms of Yeah, I think I did indicate that the families were happy with the new facilities that have been provided. I think maybe that if, I'm not sure if there's any question that I haven't responded to adequately.
Honourable Congress Spoken. Thank you, Chair. You've covered most is the question of time frames when it comes to the overall report. If maybe in writing you could send the time frames of this.
We would like to say within 90 days from the 1st of February, when the report is released, we should be able to give a comprehensive report, because what we're doing now is the progress report. Even when we inform the media and the public from the media, it's acknowledgement that there is imbalance still in the public. So we'll keep on giving progress report on how far we've gone, and we think with additional staff that we have, doctors and nurses, and we'll be able to have a bigger number of people. But we're taking the interest of the people.
So, MDC, thank you very much. I think we have come to the conclusion of the meeting. It is worrying. This is really worrying. Particularly the causes of things. But we don't want to preempt the investigation that is going to take. That is going to reveal and give us all the evidence and the information as to what actually happened in this regard. And the issue of officials that are tampering with evidence during the process of investigation, and the top officials of INSPECT, including the head of the department. It is an allegation, I know. It still has to be proved, but it is worrying as to the operations in the department don't seem to be what the public would desire. And we wish you all the best. We know that this is a difficult situation, a difficult job that you have been pushed into, so to say, or catapulted into. But you are equal to the task. As with the Deputy Minister of the Republic, I hope the officials are going to support you in your cause. And as this committee, you are going to make a follow-up in terms of the reports, the progress reports that you'll be making. Because this incident has sparked a lot of public concerns and interest. So we want to know finally what's going to happen with those that have not been relocated. Are all families happy about what is actually happening? And all the questions that we have in our minds regarding this issue. As to it is a historic, the issue of life as it remains is historic, and what went wrong all of a sudden are issues that we need to get clarity on. But the investigation out to bring it out for the public. But once again, I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. For me, it's even much more difficult because the Deputy Minister was responsible for one of the programs, is mental health, and these guidelines were finalized with the participation of many stakeholders, including NGOs, provinces, and the World Health Organization applauded the country. I think we are among the first to implement the guidelines in the country. So we will cooperate fully with the select committee and ensure that we are also transparent and support the public in this discussion. Thank you.
The meeting is then adjourned. I would like to announce the announcement.
Thank you. total kind of solution. The other announcement is that we are a president member to see that our meeting is postponed tomorrow, because there are reports we need to look into before we begin to begin the happening.
Well, you certainly say to me that you have no management or office now.
Office now.
Also, yes, we have to take some management.
That is a very serious thing, because there are members that belong to the group that they require to be rather.
We're joining half of them.
Yeah, we're joining one of the members.
In the program.
In the program, yeah, it's a proper phase.